bat. Batter up! Welcome to No Bunts, the show for the casual baseball fan on the Athletic Network from your sports-loving friends at No Dunks and the biggest Timmy Trumpet fans there are. Timmy Trumpet. Bringing trumpets to sports stadiums near you.
Who is Timmy Trumpet?
Oh, you're going to know that man's name very soon. With me, the baseball-loving Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Slapping the glove. That's that sweet, sweet leather you're hearing right now.
You know it. Got to bring a baseball glove to a baseball podcast. You never know when they're going to be hitting one outside the lines.
You always got to be ready.
Yeah.
You see all these new stadiums, balls hitting out of the stadiums these days?
Balls hitting out of the stadiums these days. I want to catch one.
Could be rolling up here to the Classic Factory as we speak. And the man making the magic happen in the Classic Factory, JD.
Hello.
But it's not just us. Our friend, Kelly Dwyer, is with us. Kelly, there he is. Time to look at the camera, sir. How are you?
I was checking the alignment on this Gibson ES-3335. I am so happy to be here and talking balls and balls and balls and bats and balls. Got to meet y'all.
Yeah, you came on the Zoom, and we heard some tasty licks happening there. Are they
you're playing now? we can only see your shoulders, so it's kind of unknown where the licks are actually coming from right now.
Yeah, it's very funny because you can hear the
beauty,
the gentle sounds of KD ripping on that thing. Ripping's the wrong word.
There's rips, yeah, there's runs, yeah, there's rolls.
There's shreds.
There's some shreds.
Kelly Dwyer with us. Of course, you know him from basketball lore, from the second arrangement, which you should be subscribed to, of course. I'm going to say the second arrangement email that I get is my favorite email. And I'm not just saying that. The second arrangement email that I get in my inbox is my favorite email to scroll through and read, because Kelly Dwyer is always a good read. So I appreciate you making my inbox a little bit better than just bills and crap, KD. Thank you so much.
And thank you on behalf of all of us listeners for giving us another awesome podcast to listen to during the summer. Cheers, guys.
That's nice of you.
Guy.
Well, we'll get to popping some baseball packs with you a little bit later, but you were just at a baseball game, so please tell us about that, Kelly.
My wife and I went to a concert in Detroit on Sunday and went to a Reds-Cardinals game on Monday. I am not a Reds fan. I am a Cardinals fan. I try to be self-aware as a Cardinals fan. I try not to flaunt it. I know of our reputation, earned, well-earned.
Best fans in baseball. You're one of them.
Best fans in, yes, 100% the best fans in baseball. And
this game was in Cincinnati.
It was in Cincinnati, and with fewer than 600 Reds fans there, we decided it was safe to go down there and have the time of our lives. Got to see dingers and got to see a record-breaking dinger. It was fantastic. And with the whole park to ourselves, we sat out a rain delay and went to the euchre seats in the bleachers, and it was a tremendous night of baseball and rain.
The euchre seats. What are those?
They're the worst seats in the house. As made famous by his Miller Lite commercials from the late 70s, early 80s, where he was presumed he was given box seats because he's Mr. Baseball. Uh-huh. And the usher shoots him to where he's at, and he's a million miles away amongst the pigeons. So, yeah, we had beautiful seats right in back of Nolan Arenado and, third row, and had the time of our lives actually, getting to see the ins and outs and what's going on in the dugout. And then there was an hour and a half rain delay in a 12-4 baseball game. So we decided to just walk around and Cincinnati, they have a beautiful ballpark there, and no one was in the bleachers but us. And two young lovers on the river watching a position player finish out the game.
They call it it's the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, right? I thought I heard the nickname was the Great American Small Park. So no surprise you would be seeing all these dingers out there. I mean, yes. Sabo, Larkin, Reggie Sanders. These guys can mash.
Don't give away our popping packs later, Trey.
No, I mean, they can mash, they can slash. You got your Hal Morris, you got your Herm Winninghams. I mean, they're all over the field there. Yeah, it is a bandbox. It's an absolute bandbox. And we saw dingers from the other team. Some cool kid came down right in front of me, a Reds fan, And, you know, we were chatting it up. He was, he could tell I was a Cardinals fan. He was offering me trades. He was wondering if you got Trout and Ohtani, would you trade him for, now this is the correct deal, Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. Now, as a fan, I'm supposed to say, yeah, give me that package of those youngsters and the guy that can pay 13 positions. Yes, please, please, please. But as a fan, my heart, man, you know, you're explaining it to a 10-year-old and but, you know, he dug it. He understood it. He liked Trey was wearing a glove. He was ready. It was a fantastic night of baseball. It was even on a school night, even the kids were represented, the dads were in place getting the job done. The moms were waiting it out till midnight in a pointless ball game and a 12-4 ball club. The college kids were rowdy and YMCAing all over the place. The ushers were yawning. It was I love baseball.
Well, you basically just detailed all 600 fans that were there.
We tried counting.
But I guess that happens in the Midwest. Do St. Louis fans travel? I mean, you're from suburban Chicago, the Chicago
area. Indiana, and they're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. Every gas station. You know, you think you're seeing some other form of red hat, and you're used to that form of red hat, but it's not. It's a nice little STL in there. Yeah, they travel. I've seen them, obviously, growing up there in the Chicago Stadium all the time, Cubs Park, and we've seen them in Milwaukee. We've seen them in Peoria this year, the minor league affiliate that we checked out earlier this summer. And, they travel all the time. I'd say it was probably 70-30. It was pretty hearty St. Louis show up there, especially in the section where it was obvious everyone bought seats on the internet.
My dad was in town over the weekend. He's a big Cubs fan, so obviously it pains him to say anything nice about the St. Louis Cardinals. But, you know, we're watching Braves Cardinals. He's like, I can't deny it. They got one of the best uniforms out there. And I could tell it was like hurting his heart, and I was a little worried for him, considering some of the health problems he's had in the past. But hearing him praise the look of the Cardinals, it's undeniable. It feels like it's unchanged since probably their inception. And man, you put some birds on a bat, that's a win for me.
It's a good look.
Are they referred to as the Redbirds? You said birds there, Trey. Is that a common?
That's I mean, I hear Birdos, I hear Redbirds. You know, it was the rare Chicago Birdos thing, or at least the Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
Birdos is good.
Isn't that where the Bulls used to practice?
Yeah, they hung out of the Birdo Center. Redbirds works, but we're usually kites.
Kelly, did you catch any of the Braves-Cardinals series over the weekend? I was really looking forward to it. The Braves playing pretty well in that Mets series last weekend. They've had a nice run here. Then they dropped 2 of 3. Against the Birdos, and the one on Saturday was just an absolute disaster with Jansen blowing it in the ninth.
It was rough, but you know, when you got guys like Lars out there, you know, slapping the ball to right field, and you know, the team takes a lot of walks and doesn't strike a lot of people out, but it's some old timey baseball. You got those birds on the bat weighing everything down, so you did not as much launch angle. But yeah, that was a surprise to us. The Braves are great. The Braves are so good, and they're always trashing the Cardinals because the Braves are a way better baseball team. But Cardinals at the end of a 2-week swing, that was awfully impressive. I had kind of solemnly given up on the Saturday night game, and the Sunday one was another huge fun time out. Just as long as you have the game on mute.
You slipped in the name Lars. Just for people out there who don't know, the Cardinals have an outfielder named Lars Nootbaar. That's his name. And I haven't been, I've never been really an NL guy, but watching Nolan Arenado, their third baseman, and Paul Goldschmidt, those guys work magic. It's not hyperbole by any means. Those guys are so good. Nolan Arenado quite often gets compared here to Austin Riley in Atlanta. People criticize Austin Riley because he's not as good defensively as Nolan Arenado. You know why? Because Arenado is amazing.
He's one of the greats.
Is he a platinum glover? Is that a thing in baseball? He's got so many gold gloves that maybe a certain number gets.
Yeah, what if they give like Thriller when it went over like 50 million or something like that? It needs that level. It's ridiculous what you expect out of that position now after only watching him for a year plus. It's just that he's genuinely outside the lines. He makes throws that on the mark that we expect ridiculous things now. And heaven help the person who replaces him. It was such an I could not believe it when they acquired him. I cannot believe our luck. It was a treasure to watch a future Hall of Famer just a couple dozen feet away from where he worked the other night. And, you know, we may have our issues off the court, as I do with most Cardinals, but that's okay. That's part of the package when you take on a different sport. It's not all going to be hockey, these guys. And Nolan is just what, you know, the kid in front of me was pointed out. He had his glove barely on before every pitch. He was talking with the umps. He was, you know, he was not like, you know, steely Kevin Garnett staring things down out there. He was very loose in between pitches, and not because it was the Reds, I'm presuming. I'm just assuming he's like that. So, you know, it's cool to, you know, I don't know what Brooks Robinson was like between pitches. I have no idea what was going down there at the hot corner in the 40s and 50s, but to see how a Hall of Famer handles it in this era, it's, I feel very lucky to have spent a lot of time watching the season.
Yeah, the highlights are absolutely ridiculous. He handled a ball go off third base yesterday seamlessly, because that's what he does. It is pretty cool. And as I said, Newt Barr, Arenado, Goldschmidt, three great names on the Cardinals. As much as totally. people love to hate them, they are making their name pretty well known. They're sort of below the elite teams right now in baseball. The Dodgers just got to 90 wins, but they could easily go all the way. They are leading the NL Central right now, and they're damn good.
They're way ahead in the NL Central. And Kelly, you said the Braves are usually better than the Cardinals, and maybe that's true, like win percentage, and obviously they're having a better season so far this year. They're the defending champs, likely going back to back this year. But I mean, seeing the Cardinals, you know, they're fifth or fourth in the NL in wins, they always are good. The Cardinals may not have the higher record going into the playoffs, but I feel way more confident in a Cardinals team always than I will in a Braves team, because the Braves, like, you know, their franchise history is having a great regular season and then coming up a little short in the postseason. Whereas with the Cardinals, I feel like they'll just have an average regular season, get hot come playoff time. They've obviously got some legends around the team right now. I feel like St. Louis has to be feeling pretty good after the way the weekend went.
Oh, yeah, because as you mentioned, we're the worst. We're the absolute worst. We're the team that shows up with 84 wins and, you know, throws out some lefty with 4.92 ERA in game two and still takes the series. That's what they do every year, and it upsets Twitter. And it's fun to root for the, you know, the anti-team sometimes, even if that anti-team is perpetually in the playoffs. I'm very lucky. I grew into it in the 80s when they ran all the time, and they had a little swoon when they were always said, you know, at least at worst mediocre. And since the new owners bought the team, it's just been, they've been competing, and the farm system is obviously terrific. We are aware of the weirdness of just seeing these guys every year come up and have like an 820 OPS for a year and a half with the Cardinals and then go off through obscurity the rest of, you know, like we're well aware of the fact that these guys coming out of the farm system are that no one else gets this, that this is just a weird thing that happens to the Cardinals sometimes. Brendan Donovan, what is that? And it's and it's Bo Hart, and so some of us are trying to be on top of the you know, I feel lucky. I feel very, very lucky to watch Goldschmidt and Arenado throw baseballs to each other. That is a rare thing in any sport on any team ever, let alone two of them in their prime at the same time. So a lot of fun. We have going tonight.
You're going tonight. Another game.
Yes. Subscribe to the second arrangements. Gas is down to, you know, I'm averaging about 38, 37 on the highways in the hatchback. So, going down tonight, going to be at live, purchase a bleacher seats, possibly on some sort of street market. We'll see. We'll see what the corners are looking like up to. There weren't that many there the other day, but I have purchased tickets outside the stadium at Great American Ballpark. And let me tell you, as a former denizen of the Cincinnati area, those ticket brokers on the street are fine gentlemen and women. And I would encourage their pursuits. They have never given me a bogus ticket. I might pursue that tonight. And try to be in the building around other people catching home runs.
And you're going solo.
Solo bolo on this one. Yeah, it's time. You know, the last trip not enough jazz fusion on the last trip. We gotta have some, you know, there's a lot of, and, you know, earnest talking between me and the wife about delightful things and cooing our love to one another. But now it's time for some electric bass solos.
Yeah, you get to pick the music, just ride yourself. I totally feel you on that one. I also want to do the same thing. I'm going to go to an ugly ballpark in Tampa. Similar situation, just solo.
You're driving to Tampa by yourself?
Yeah, it's a long one.
That's sicko mode right there.
It's about a seven. It's a seven. Yeah, I'm going to take in the game myself. I'm thinking about scoring the game when I'm there.
Ooh, nice. In September? That's going to be beautiful. Come on. And you got a scorecard. You're going to get the callus back on your pencil hand. Come on. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I have been playing softball recently. Somebody handed me a scorebook to take control of the lineup, and as soon as I wrote down that a 3-6 put out at second, I was so pumped. I was ready. I was ready to get back. Still got the penmanship. I was looking, like, where do I circle? The guy just walked. We had a walk, which is ridiculous. There shouldn't be any walking in softball. But where do I circle the BB, the base on balls? Because you got to circle what the person did before you you score it. Anyway, excited for that. Excited for the second arrangement and what you do with your performance. Can I ask? Go ahead. Go ahead. You were going to say
You can always also – Phil Rizzuto had a WW also, which he famously wrote down when he wasn't watching.
That's baseball, baby.
I spend a lot of time at the Sabre biographical channel. I, you know, there's not too much to do in the NBA in the summertime, so you find yourself on the, you know, the Harry Sweets Walker, the, you know, the John Suitcase Simpson biography. It's a fun 45 minutes.
I got obsessed in the past week watching baseball glove YouTube videos. I found out now that guys are sticking two fingers into the pinky of their glove instead of any into into the regular ones. It changes the shape of your pocket. I've been trying to adjust to that.
So you
feels
skip,
insane to me.
Skip the ring finger?
Yeah, look at this. Yeah, you skip the ring finger, you got nothing, or I guess you got nothing in the pointer, so it's a little bit, it just changes the shape of your pocket.
But you're utilizing those forearm muscles.
Arenado and Chapman on the Blue Jays. I think those guys went to high school. They're two of the best fielders out there.
They seriously
like
that do
nice that? Nice wide glove, yeah. It's weird stuff.
Whoa, that is very, very weird. That's probably why I dropped the ball at first base. a lob ball. But the guy was throwing it around the screen. We got a screen for the pitcher so he doesn't get...
Oh, hammered. Nice. Yeah,
the
sure.
Lob ball really throws you off. Anyways, we still haven't talked about Albert Pujols. You slipped in there that you saw a record-breaking home run, which is that a record? I mean, Albert, okay, let me outline it here for the fans. Albert Pujols hit his 694th home run. That's not the record. He is fifth all-time, and we're watching it here on YouTube. I don't know how it got out. It was just, he put the bat on the ball. He's that freaking strong that it went opposite way, got out to the bleacher. So 694. But again, that's not the record as he goes for 700. It was the 450th pitcher that he's homered off of. That's the record. The most all-time pitchers that he's hit off of. So it's kind of a fake record, but you think it's a record, Kelly.
I'm offended. The power of expansion is real in our generation. We need to accept it. Just because some of us can't sometimes confuse the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, that's, you know, that's not expansion's fault. Yes, that's good. 450. That's incredible. That's a whole NBA. I love that. That's a great thing for that. Come on, if you can remember what you were doing 21 years ago when this guy was coming up, and it's still happening in your lifetime, it's a remarkable thing. I'm having a, with him and Serena. It's been a wonderful week.
Yeah, it's the whole NBA, as you said. So my question is, what's the NBA equivalent of this type of record? So yeah, he's still chasing Aaron and Bonds and Babe, and even Alex Rodriguez. Just two more to catch Alex Rodriguez, but. This record of 450 pitchers that he's hit off of, I laugh.
Unbreakable, some people are saying.
Well, yeah, with expansion, with all these position players pitching that Kelly slipped in there, he watched a position player get on the hill and close out that game. I heard Jason Stark on the Athletic MLB show say it's the most position players ever to pitch this season.
Stats.
Frickin' baseball.
That's not a record.
It's not a record, but it's a record. Position players are pitching more than ever in MLB history. Would you guess how many have taken the hill this year? Position players come on over? Because back when we watched baseball, it'd be like 10, maybe. Nah, that's a high. I don't know.
No way. No, it'd be like one guy, and it'd be like on a highlight video for the next 12 years.
Yeah, like Jose Canseco did it. Yeah. Now, almost 100 this year. 98.
100?
Yeah.
That's too many. I'm with Jason Stark on this one.
That's a lot. But that's just
They're
going
all jocks.
Up.
They can handle it. That guy came up for the Reds, and I'll be honest, I'm not deep on the Reds' baseball reference page. So we had no idea it was a position player out in the bleachers. It was just some guy that was getting hammered by Dickerson. It was not unlike any of the other hurlers they sent to the mound that night. So it's, for us casuals, it's a fun treat when you get home and he's like, oh, that fella plays the shortstop too. Okay. That's good for him. Good for him.
You're right. They're jocks. There was some guy, I think it was on the Rays or somebody, he was like starting catcher and then he ended up pitching and they won the game. I don't know.
Got to win.
And now he plays for the CFL team. They can handle this stuff.
Is there an NBA equivalent to this fake record?
I mean, it's the NBA is so boring with its like 20 a game in someone's face. No, there's nothing like a dinger, guys. The closest you could come up with is, like Vince Carter may have crammed on, 42 different starting centers over the course of a 22 year, something like that. Or the combined war of the power forwards that he threw down over, or the small forwards that the Kobe shot fadeaways. No, it's nothing tops dingers. It's a unique and pastoral exercise, and I shudder to compare it to anything outside of maybe the time that Jordan got all three Georgetown centers and then waved the finger to Dikembe's face. So I guess three is the equivalent, Alonzo, Patrick, and Dikembe of the 450 pitchers.
I guess you weren't anywhere near the right field bleachers when Pujols put it over the fence.
No, but that's what he does. He goes inside out in this stuff. He just, he's been doing it for two decades. I'm recalling being at euchre seats in the 2004 playoffs and going, how can anyone hit a home run? Because I'm facing him as he's teeing off on that left foot and grinding in and digging in the weirdest way, and just wondering how anyone can even manage a baseball swing with that stance. And then he turns inside out on a Houston Astro something or other and goes to 400, and I believe. I believe it was 2,000 to 3,000 feet with that home run that I'm recalling. I didn't see the Lidge one, but he's a marvel. He's this big fella that can just turn in inside out on this stuff and giggle his way through another season and then retire out of nowhere. I hope.
He's retired. He's done.
He's done. But, what if there was an all left-hander league? What if we got that going, an all southpaw, sort of situation?
That's a good idea.
I'd watch that. I'd pay $10 to go see that. They'd open up for minor league teams or something like that. I've seen a 6'3 under basketball league or 6'6 and under, whatever that was. I should be able to see a left-handed league.
Yeah. Okay, but he's at 694 home runs right now. Only three players in MLB history have hit 700 or more. Pujols has been on a little bit of a tear in the past month.
He has been tearing.
He's been raking. He's been cranking. But six home runs in about 30 games. KD, you think it's possible that he gets to 700 this year? Or is he going to get to like 698, come back for a few plate appearances next year, get over the big 700?
If any city would welcome that, it would be the St. Louis Cardinal fan.
Yeah,
he blessed our April with 72. He batted 160, but he got those two other home runs. And he could pull that off. But they also keep throwing lefties at him. We were at the ballpark the other night. I was like, God, I hope they leave this lefty in, honey. We got to hurry up and get these beers back to the seats, honey. We got Pujols is coming up. And they didn't, but geez, that's what he does. He just, it's when you least expect it. None of us thought he'd be anywhere near this good. I thought he'd be okay. I didn't mind the signing, especially for the price. I would have preferred a better day-to-day player. But to have someone with a double digit or whatever it is, OPS against lefties, just hanging out on the bench, setting records, 450 record.
You love stats. OPS. You're dropping OPS here on the show. But the numbers are. I have to say it. I have to say these numbers because as you've said, he's so good against lefties and so poopy against righties. He's batting .387, old school average there for you, but slugging .806 for an OPS of 1.231. So nearly 400 against left-handers and an 800 slugging percentage, which is absolutely ridiculous. So if there was an all-lefties league, he would be the star attraction. But against righties, he's only hitting 194. And, yeah, there's just a lot more righties and lefties. So he will be out there in the playoffs against lefties. And that's the beauty of this DH rule as well. You get one more good hitter. And Albert Pujols, he's streaking.
Good hitter.
He's streaking for 700, but he's going to hang him up. So I don't know if he's going to get there.
That'd be cool, though, if he gets the 700 homers and Judge also hits over 60. Like, that's a throwback to the 90s. People mashing more dingers than you're expecting. But Pujols, not the only Cardinals legend set to retire this season. I think Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright as well. Katie, are you trying to go to as many of these games as you possibly can just because these guys are around for the last time?
Yeah, I'd go to it anyway. $10 ticket. But yeah. Yadier is my favorite baseball player ever. Like ever. Yeah, he supplanted Eric Davis. So yeah, it is. I love watching him. And to have, you know, your favorite baseball player leave his team in the middle of the season to go root on his basketball team that he owns. I mean, of course, that's my favorite player times 1,000. That only cemented this legend's legacy in my eyes. Wainwright is Waino. 72-mile-an-hour curveball. You know, come on. You know it's coming, but it's dropping in, and it's ridiculous how he gets away with it. But I'm happy to watch it until another autumn. we're very blessed. And yeah, Yadi's just the champion. He's just the absolute. I'm going to be there in Cooperstown. I hope to make it another 5 years and drive the hatchback safely up to. I've never been there, but I'm definitely going to visit his enshrinement.
It is kind of rare to be able to toe the line between, like you're saying, Arenado and Goldschmidt are like in the prime of their careers, a couple of the best players in the league right now, but you also have legends retiring. It's kind of Spursy the way like they're able to kind of toe the line between these two eras. You said you've been watching the Cardinals forever, since the 80s. As long as I can remember, they've had incredible first basemen. So rank these Cardinals first basemen, Kelly. Mark McGwire, legend. Albert Pujols, legend. Paul Goldschmidt, current legend.
Okay. First, I want to say Jack Clark is last in whichever we're doing. We're going to put Pujols first by a lot. McGwire was fun. It was one home run every 7.8 at bats. That's pretty gnarly. The late 90s were a trip, kids. But Goldschmidt's defense, watching him that first year, we knew he could play defensively, but that was just outstanding consistency, range. You don't have to worry about anything. Just he's only going to throw the pass if it's going to be complete. It's one of those situations. He's not going to overplay on things in terms of balls bouncing and stuff like that. He's not going to lose his mind out there. Things don't go wrong. He's just a tremendous defensive player. And the fact that if he was 260 this year and 20 home runs, I'd be like, this guy's the greatest. I can't believe he's a Cardinal. I'm so happy just because I'm a defense guy. We're going to go Albert, Paul, and then old big neck there, number three.
Some great names.
I mean, I got one too, but I've been socking dingers too. So it happens to all of us mix.
Yeah, if you're listening, Kelly Dwyer just gave a neck shimmy.
I showed my Yadier Molina neck tattoo. I took it off. I'm sorry. It's temporary. I only wear it for the games.
But just to reiterate, Yadier Molina is an owner of a basketball team in Puerto Rico, and he left the Cardinals for two games because he wanted to see his Puerto Rican team in the finals. And
respect.
He cleared it with ownership, with management. He said, "Yeah, I'm gone for a couple of days," and obviously he's got that respect. So he took off and he came back and they won. Pretty cool.
Won the championship.
Puerto Rican League.
Puerto Rican League.
Yeah, the championship. Yeah. So that is extremely cool. A couple other cool things, because baseball is about little names and stats. I like how you just dropped the Albert, the Paul, the first names. I got another name for you, Maddox. I know Trey's a big Braves fan. What is pitching a Maddox? What's a Maddox, guys? Because it was recently done. What is a Maddox? It was recently done by the Cardinals' Jordan Montgomery.
The complete game shutout?
Complete game.
Under 100 pitches?
Under 100 pitches.
Oh, wow.
Has to be under 100 pitches because Mr. Efficient, Greg Maddox, didn't go out.
And you have to wear glasses during your post-game interview. If you take your contacts out.
I was always like, is that Greg Maddux or Matthew Broderick out there? Especially when you throw on the glasses. I also remember one time Maddux got hit by a foul ball in the dugout and he had like seams on his face. Those were like, that and the Chicks Dig the Long Balls commercial are like the coolest things Greg Maddux ever did.
Yeah, it wasn't. They're like, they're round glasses.
Yeah, like wire rim glasses.
Yeah, he had it all, man. Sticking on the pitching front, Albert Pujols, 694 homers, 450 different pitchers. Can you name the five Hall of Fame pitchers that are already in the Hall of Fame that he homered off of? Because he got
Pujols.
Pujols, yeah. Five Hall of Fame pitchers that he homered off of.
I'm going to start with Cy Young. Goodness gracious, thanks a lot.
Think of pitchers that are in the Hall of Fame.
Halliday.
Halliday is not one of them, surprisingly, but it was a good guess. A good guess.
Maddux. I don't know any of the recent Maddux, like, Maddux is the 2000 one. Era. I guess Maddux would be one of the 2000 era pitchers that are in like the Hall of Fame. I'm not really great with a lot of them. I mean, let's see.
No, even earlier. Because Pujols has been around so long. Go back. Oh, really? Go think 90s.
So he got Bob Tewksbury. Did he get Jamie? No, Jamie Moyer is not a Hall of Famer.
Think NL pitchers.
I'm really letting down this one. You know, if Lee were here, you could help me out with some Dale Ellis trivia.
How about the big unit?
The big unit.
He hit one off Randy Johnson.
Yeah, hits lefties great, man.
I mix up the Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies as well, Kelly, but he was an Arizona Diamondback for a while. I always think of him as a Mariner, but yeah, he was in the Diamondbacks. So, because there wasn't interleague play back then, Pujols in the National League. So, there was. It's mostly there. Well, there's two more National League guys.
So Smoltz?
Smoltz, very well done. Oof. One National League guy who was a reliever, and then one guy he got an interleague play.
How about CC Sabathia? Isn't that a
he said National
Hall of
League
Famer?
Reliever?
National League reliever. You got a reliever.
National League reliever. Who's I'm just in the Hall of Fame? On, because I just I
that's
have
more no, of a 2000s big lefty, big the, closer entrance song.
The Trevor Hoffman fellow.
The Trevor Hoffman fellow.
Nice.
And then he got one by a guy who shares a nickname with NBA players. I think there's multiple players with this NBA nickname. Not great players. Don't sneak a look
there,
over here, Draco. You're sneaking a look.
Is there a junkyard dog in the NBA or in the MLB? Yeah.
No, it's an animal.
I already
it's
said Suitcase animal. Simpson.
He probably was. Oh, he played on the same team as CC Sabathia, as you mentioned.
Pettit.
Not the same era. Clements. No, very close to Pettit. Very close to Pettit.
Mariano. No, he was a starter.
Lots of M's. Lots of M's.
Mike Mussin.
The Mike the Moose.
The Moose.
I don't
the
know if they dog. Called him that. What'd you say, Kelly?
Who was Clemens' buddy that went out to Texas? Was that Mussina? Or was that Pettit? Who was the buddy with Clemens? Anyway, they were both pictured working out in t-shirts that said Chili Dog on them. And dog spelled D-O-G, not like dog, like bro. But it was still like a nickname, so we didn't
chili
really
dog.
Get that. Yeah, Chili Dog. Yeah, it was when Clemens went to the Astros late and took someone with him. That was a Yankee. I can't remember. It was one of those
I think
two.
Pettit did go to the Astros.
Astros.
There you go. It was Pettit. Right. It was Pettit was the Chili Dog.
The only thing I remember about Mike Mussina is knuckle curve. He threw a
Did
knuckle
he?
Curve. That's a cool pitch.
Very
I think everybody
cool pitch.
Should throw the knuckle curve.
They should still call it the curve, just spell it with a K.
Yeah, exactly.
Had to write that down in the scorebook yesterday. A K in softball, not good.
Trevor Hoffman?
Yep.
Is he known for a changeup? I think he might be known for a changeup. And that's something I've been thinking about ever since Kenley Jansen blew this save on Saturday night against the Cardinals. I like my closers to throw exclusively gas.
Yeah.
Like if you're not throwing over 98 as a closer, I don't want to hear it. So if you're not scary, it's not the same to me. Like Jansen's got good stuff. I'm sure Trevor Hoffman, if he did throw a changeup, has good stuff. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the great closers. But I like the guy who you're expecting to put triple digits on the gun when it comes to the ninth inning. Because when it's all about movement, things can go poorly. And that's exactly what happened Saturday night.
Kenley Jansen throws some heat, though, doesn't he?
He's like in the 94s, but it's not the same. He's all about movement, but that's why he was losing. Wild pitches, hitting batters, walking guys, bad stuff.
Strong disagree.
Just
Strong
throw
disagree.
It straight and fast.
Strong disagree. You're
who's,
not.
Who's the greatest reliever ever? Who redefined the position?
Mariano,
Dennis Eckersley. Oh. No, prior to that. Eckersley.
Eckersley.
Like a .42 ERA one year when he won two MVPs and three Cy Youngs in one season, I believe. I can't remember all the specifics, but he was all swooping off speed things and backdoor sliders and stuff like that. No, I need a goofy looking reliever. I need a Raleigh Fingers. I need someone with some slick stuff, a Kenta Culvey, a Quisenberry. I want a guy that seems like his wife runs like an art gallery or something like that downtown. I want something that tells me this guy knows how to play some form of Spanish guitar in his persona. No, I need like a, yeah, I need an act. I don't need a basic fireball or firing. Okay, he's got a little movement on that and he can tape. No. Give me the swoopy stuff. Give me the Eckersley.
Well, that's what Kirk Gibson said as well. Give me the Eckersley. I'm waiting for that backdoor slider.
Yeah, so did Roberto Alomar. I only have good memories of Eck, who was a starter to start his career, right? And then turned mm-hmm. into an That's amazing right. reliever, yeah. Well, thank you for dropping all those names. The Dan Quisenberry, oh, God, that feels good. So let's get to some name dropping here, because we're going to open some packs where we will see some fantastic names. Now, a couple days ago, I hadn't gotten any packs, and I needed to get some real quick. So I wasn't going to do the order online,
sure,
because it was only going to get here today as we record here on Wednesday. So I went to a collector store.
Hey.
And got a couple packs. The only 90s-era packs that they had were Bowmans.
Okay. All right.
Now, once you see the Bowmans, if you don't remember them, you will remember them. They're old-looking cards. I'm holding the pack up here on YouTube.
Smallest name you will ever see on a baseball card will be on these packs. It is so tiny.
Oh, yeah. It's totally true. I've had these packs in my house for the last 2 days, and I just want to open them up and chew the 30-year-old gum, and I can feel it. The gum is there.
Wax pack.
The gum is there. Yeah, they're waxy, but I wasn't extremely happy with the Bowmans. So as a backup, I stacked some cards from my 1990s Upper Deck collection, which was collected manually, pack by pack, 800 cards here.
This is a nice looking set of cards.
Yeah, the first page is gone. So this is what number 19 to 35, I guess, on the second page. The front cover, front page is gone from over the years, but I stacked some cards from that as a backup. So here we go. Let's open some Bowman to start. We'll get to some 1990 Upper Deck as a backup. Mm-mm.
So
delicious.
This is 1990 season. I wonder if that means we're talking like 1989 MLB draft.
Yeah, so 89.
Just Kevin missing Mitchell out here on Chipper, unfortunately.
All right, so what the heck is this? All right. Yeah, I think my worry was we weren't going to get any names, but this is a decent name. Little guy.
Little guy.
Little guy. A New York Yankee. I would guess an Italian name. Played up the middle. He looks rangy.
Okay.
I don't have much more than that.
Pagliarulo?
No. Well done, though.
How about Tony Graffanino?
Well done with the name. No. I guess he played third base here. I guess he wasn't up the middle.
What's he talking? What? 1990?
If he was Yankees.
Oh, you said Yankees.
Yeah. He was acquired from the White Sox. I don't know if that... Well, that should help you, perhaps.
It should.
Steve
Yet.
Buschel. He was never a White Sox.
His first name is Horny.
His first name is Horny.
Yes.
No.
Lust McGill.
This is a good baseball name, for sure.
It's a good baseball name, yeah. Yeah, his first name is a little excited.
Yeah, his first name is Horny if you're Austin Powers, specifically.
Oh, Randy McClure, Randy...
Italian last name is where I would... Randy Velarde, Randy Horny. Velarde.
Velarde.
Randy Velarde, that's a good one.
Yeah, looks like he's ripping right
nice.
There. See,
Look at that typeset. That two-point type on that Randy there. Look at that. That's just for that action
shot.
Not
too bad.
It is tiny.
And this is the days of the stitched in stirrup too, which is just classic 89 behavior.
Yeah, are these cards trying to pull off an Opeachy? I don't know how long Bowman's been around, but they feel...
They came back, and they were going to be like, we're going to be the throwback card. We're going to be awesome. We're also going to be larger than normal. And everyone was like, no, these don't fit inside our boxes. I was one of those children. And so the next set they made was normal size, and that's the one you're holding.
Mm. Well done. Thanks for all that information.
Randy Velarde.
See, that is one of the names that we're going to know from this pack, because this next guy, there's no way. He was a Seattle Mariners Outfielder, he looks like. Yeah, he's an outfielder. I got nothing on this guy. He was also a Yankee at some point. He's an outfielder.
I mean, it's all lining up for Jay Buhner, but it can't be Jay Buhner. You would know Jay Buhner.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be Phelps. Wouldn't you put Phelps in the outfield?
That's
still
right.
Still a Mariner in '89. That's also rough, though.
Oh, there are some Cubs in his life. These cards are very confusing as to where these guys played.
You got a Jerome Walton over there?
No.
He's still a Cubby.
His last name's almost a fabric. one letter short of being a fabric that
Tad Lee Esther.
One letter short of being a fabric we all wear. We're all wearing right now.
Cotton.
Yep.
Nice. One of the best fabrics out there.
Jim Trotton.
No, it's Miguel literally Cotto. Henry Cotto.
Henry Cotto. Yeah. He was definitely a Mariner. Their low years. Yeah. Definitely was one of the guys on those Harold Reynolds teams. He's all ready for a summer that's going to include 60 wins. Look at that. That's the excitement of spring, kids. That's the promise right there. It's about to fade real soon, and then he's going to get traded to a terrible Yankee team.
Why the hell is his bat taped? Why did they tape bats up on the barrel? It's the barrel that's taped, not the handle.
You think that's a sweet spot? You got to work on hitting it there. In spring training, we're working on ball striking.
See ball, hit ball. So you have to watch the ball.
Oh, that's probably if they don't want to scuff the balls. They got to keep him clean for the season.
You got to scuff the ball with that tape. All right, this guy I remember as a speedster. Simple name, outfielder. He's with the A's in this. I kind of remember him as a San Francisco Giant, if I'm not mistaken. Darren made his professional baseball debut at Scottsdale. Well, I guess his name
Darren.
Is Darren.
First name Darren.
Jesus. Yes.
Darren Leester.
Can't be Darren. Darren Cotton.
Yeah. No, not Darren Lewis.
Darren Lewis. Don't know that guy. Oof.
I'm bad.
You're going to be pretty sad.
I'm skipping this guy, Tim McIntosh. Get out of here.
Tim McIntosh.
Well, roast beef popping up above the V-neck there for Tim McIntosh.
Why were they all V-necks? And they were all polyester V-necks in the 80s. How could that? That just could not have been fun.
No.
Just scraping.
No. I do love all the pinstripes, though. The uniforms are looking great, though.
Yes,
not the most
that
beautiful.
Hat is superb.
Yeah, great shape of the hat.
Speaking of uniforms, this classic uni. No longer in Major League Baseball. Montreal Expos uni. If you're an Expos fan, you probably remember this guy. He was a very talented guy. He got around. I think he was on the Giants. He's an outfielder. He's with the Expos here. 5'10", 170. Yeah, not a big guy. He was drafted by the Cubs, number 3. Is that the first round?
Wow.
Is he a number 3 pick? It says Cubs number 3. I don't know if that means round or not. He's with the Spos here.
Not Casey Candela. He was second baseman. I do not recall.
Good guessing. Great names there. But no.
I know DeShields.
No. He played with those guys, but he was, you know, definitely the lesser. He wasn't an Alou. He wasn't a Grissom even.
Who among us?
He definitely played with the Giants. Dave Martinez.
Oh,
David Martinez. Oh, okay.
Talented guy.
Yeah, he was on a very good Cubs team in 88, 89. There was some internal dissension in the clubhouse that resulted in some trades, and Martinez was sent away. The Reds once had John Wedelin, future Hall of Fame reliever, and decided to trade him to the Expos for probably at the time 30-year-old Dave Martinez. That was a bit of a biff on their end. But perfectly able player.
John Wedelin ended up in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. Was he? Or just very good, maybe? I don't know. But, you know, not much better than those Red teams in the late 90s. Really could have been something, but in the mid-90s. But it's just they're always one player short.
I think they inducted him into the Hall of Fame for having the dirtiest hat in MLB history, actually.
The Wetland Man?
John Wetland loved a dirty hat.
Oh, dirty hat. I thought you said dirty tat. I'm like, where is this? What is this? What sort of barbed wire monstrosity? What's hanging from it?
Yeah, he had a googliata.
This, John Wetland, dirty tat. This man may have had a dirty tat. He was a hurler. He did it from the starter's position. He did it from the bullpen as well.
Okay.
It looks like his wife may have owned an art gallery.
Oh, so he's got a look.
He's got a look. He's got a stash. He liked to stare down his opponents. He liked to...
Dougie Jones?
He did like to do a little demonstrative gestures to the opposing dugout. No, we just mentioned him.
Oh, Eckerson.
Oh, it is Eck? Yeah.
It's
oh,
Eck, nice. Baby. Oh, yeah. It's Eck. Nice look at this. Right look there. At this stare down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Just aggressively anti-sideburns. In that
yeah,
just,
that's a,
just if you had sideburns, you were just gone. Like, what are you even doing with sideburns?
But aggressive ear covers as well. That it's like,
oh yeah, let them know I still know how to party. I'm gonna strike you out, but I need you to know that I'm still cool. It is that's your spring haircut. That's what you decide on. Look at that palm tree in the background. This is a man who's ready that's to give nice up card. About four runs in the next 6 months.
he just recently retired as Cardinals broadcaster?
Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's where he was a famed starter before his years got the best of him. And yeah, he was a lot of fun on those games.
Yeah, these cards are so dumb. They give you the stats that they had against the team. Every single team that they played.
It's ridiculous.
It's just
they would have like four at bats or something.
Yeah,
and I think one year they had them by month. And I'm not like, who cares what they did in April, Bowman? What is happening here?
Yeah, you know these cards very well. You know them better than I do, and I'm looking at them. But they don't have the previous teams. That's the dumb thing. I want to give you guys some previous teams, but they literally just have the stats for the teams that they played against, which is... Anyways, this guy's got alliteration in his name. He's a double letter, double start to his...
Alan Anderson. Alan Anderson.
No, but it's a great name. It's not a player who's extremely well known, but I just remember him because of his name.
Walt Weiss.
Nice, very nice. Who's part of the Braves? No, it's not him.
Oh,
very nice guess.
Pretty good.
Part of the Braves coaching staff.
Pat Perry.
Yeah. Mm. Who? Harry? Who?
Pat Perry.
Pat Perry. No.
Rich Robinson? No, wait. Ron Robinson.
No. A lot earlier in the alphabet. He's a middle infielder, 5'11", 170. He's with the Indians here.
Brett Boone.
No.
Bob Boone.
Brett Butler?
No. Ooh, Brett Butler's a good one.
He was born in the Dominican Republic.
That changes things.
Felix Fermín.
Oh, Felix Fermín.
Fermín.
Good name.
Good name.
Good name.
Oh, yeah, get that back. You don't need to bunt that. You don't need to bunt that. Make him work. They know what's coming, but you don't have to give it to them. You know what I mean, Felix? Way to hold back.
Felix Fermín. Another alliteration. Let's go with this, baby. I believe a starting pitcher. He'd like to sport a mustache. He's with the Astros here.
Dougie Drabek?
No, oh, no, but...
That's perfect.
No, but the exact letter that you just said, and he's got a theory.
He's got a theory. He's got a... He's got
D.
A, he's got D. a... Darwin? Danny yep. Darwin.
Danny Darwin!
Nice one.
Nicely done,
Danny Darwin,
brothers.
Maybe like a White Sox at some point? I don't know if that's
yes.
true.
Nice. Yeah, he was via the White Flag trade where Jerry Reinsdorf...
There you go.
...traded a bunch of White Sox on the way to the... when they were like 3.5 games out in August. And he was like, I'm just a bad donor and I'm just going to trade everyone because, Yeah, it even has its own Wikipedia page.
It does, yeah. I was looking at it recently, too, for I have no idea what reason. Kelly, I feel like you're maybe a minor White Sox fan. Is that true?
Yes. I own several hats and thousands of baseball cards. And, yeah, they were the American League team, and they were always on TV. And it was fun to go to Sox Park and also watch the fireworks and the old Sox Park, yeah. I should say. And it was, I've always enjoyed the Sox. I was not a huge follower of their 2004 run, but the 80s and 90s teams, I was high up there.
Seems to be that this season they've reached kind of their fire Garpax moment.
Exactly.
The Reinsdorf universe out there.
At the very least, they need to bring the Charlie Lau, Walt Herniak principles back to batting and open up that stance and try to go the other way. That's at least my that's the way I saw things back in the early 90s.
Walt Herniak loved a high finish, a high one-handed finish. I lost a lot of power in high school trying that one-handed finish.
Yes.
I think there may have been
right. It's okay.
I think
it'll pay off eventually.
Mm-hmm. There may have been a Bowman's error here.
Uh-oh.
We had three Brewers in a row. And then I found a fourth deep in the pack. So we're just going to fly through these
four.
That's
no air. Bowman was known for that.
The Bowman Brigade of brewers here. I'm going to name these guys. I'm not going through them. Jamie Navarro was probably...
He was a White Sox.
The most known of all those guys.
Very good pitcher.
So Jamie Navarro, you're going to fly through these. Glenn Braggs.
Glenn Braggs dated someone from En Vogue at the height of En Vogue's fame. And when he was with the Reds, he twice he swung so hard he broke a bat on his shoulder.
Damn.
And dated a member of En Vogue. En Vogue.
Those are two good brags for Glenn.
He broke a bat on his shoulder. Like he swung through and his follow through.
Swung through and a bat broke the handle off, yeah.
Oh, broke the handle off.
It broke at the handle, yeah. Just, just a wham.
Never seen such a thing.
We hadn't either. It was remarkable.
Probably wouldn't happen with today's maples that they're using.
You think they're making wood harder these days?
I think so. Mm.
You see less broken bats or like highlights of broken bats, like a Bo Jackson, you know? Haven't seen a guy break a bat over his head in a long time.
Do yourself a favor and YouTube Chris Sabo corked bat and watch the most hilarious at bat in baseball history where Chris Sabo knows he has a broken bat that is full of cork and yet still decides to swing with it, knowing that it's going to explode full of cork everywhere. Uh-oh. And of course he gets caught and it's a moment in baseball history. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Chris Sabo corked bat.
Done and done. I was just looking at Chris Sabo's goggles. I'm down with any Chris Sabo story. Greg Brock is another brewer here that we're flying through, and Teddy Higuera.
Was he Canadian?
Oof. Greg Brock? Not that I know of.
Or Australian?
No, he was born in Oregon. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pretty close to Canada.
No relation to Lou. And Teddy Higuera, who's gum-stained.
Gum-stained Teddy.
Also through a no wait, that was Juan Nieves. But yeah, Teddy was a pretty good pitcher for a while there.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Brewers were stacked.
I guess they had
Juan Nieves. They had Bill Plaschke, later Bucks announcer, calling their games. They had some fun teams.
Later Bucks announcer. Obviously Robin Yount and Rob Deere and Polly Molly.
Greg Vaughn.
The classics.
Greg Vaughn.
Okay, speaking of a classic. I think Skeets actually mentions this guy pretty often because he's well known for one thing.
Pitching the eighth inning?
And it has nothing to do. He does like to say Dwayne Ward a lot. But no, this is a position player. This is a position player who lost a part of his anatomy that is JD Kruk. Chiming in? There he is. JD. I can see JD's mic going on. John Kruk.
Kruk,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is notable for losing a part of his anatomy.
Oh, my God. Look at the baby face Kruk. He's got some Garth Brooks.
He's got a Garth look to him. Great moment with Randy Johnson.
Look at those meaty
game,
paws.
You know?
John Kruk was on the David Letterman show in the mid-90s and wore a Steely Dan Asia t-shirt.
There you go. Kruk.
Great stuff. Great stuff from John Kruk.
Kruk. Is he like an announcer now or something like
that? I think so.
Yeah,
in Philly.
He's in the booth. He's got to be.
Understated, wry, funny.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our second pack here of Bowmans.
Let's get to the second pack of Bowmans. You want me to do it?
It's up to you.
I'm really feeling that pinky in the side part. I really like that
idea. It's strange. It feels honestly odd, but it changes the way you close the glove. Like I close it thumb to pinky now rather than like thumb to finger. So my pocket feels deeper. And I'm going to use it to hide my face when I'm doing these cards. I think that's something Greg Maddux invented. Not letting
or if you
want to
sing like Jack
doing.
White.
All right, here's a good one. Teammate of John Kruk, one of the scumbags on the Phillies. He's also an alliteration name.
Oh, Darren Dalton?
There you go. There you go. That's a big one. Darren Dalton. DD. This guy I've never heard of. But he was a Chicago White Sox.
Wow. Young Darren.
Oh, wow. He looks very young in that picture.
Zac Efron.
I wonder if he gets that a lot. You remind me of a young Zac Efron, Darren Dalton. All right, this guy was a pitcher, Kelly, obviously in the 90s season for the Chicago White Sox. We're talking about the Navy and Red era. I don't know what to tell you. He's from New Orleans. He's straight up from New Orleans, okay? And his first name's Greg.
Greg Walker was a position player. I don't recall the last name of this guy, even though I know who he is.
Dowell.
Greg Hibbard.
Hibbard.
Greg Hibbard, yes.
There was another Hibbard.
Oh, speaking of balls.
Soft tosser.
Soft tosser.
Soft tosser, okay.
Oh, he is ready for spring with that chain. Look at him. He's like, I'm going to wear it this year. I know I bought it last winter, but I'm going to wear it this year. I'm absolutely going to wear it. I don't care what Ivan Calderon says. I'm going to wear it.
You think he got that in the winter? It looks like a...
I mean, he got it two winters prior, and he just didn't have the guts before the 88 season, and 89, it's time to shine.
Oh, wow. It screams spring by to me. Like it screams like an island chain, but mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying.
All right. This guy was one of the best hitters for the Texas Rangers in the 1990s.
Ruben
Good
Sierra.
Nickname based on his actual name. High average. Lots of dingers. Lots of RBIs.
Rafael Palmeiro? Ruben
no.
Sierra.
Harold Baines? No.
Also no, but I mean, you guys are in the right era. I believe he was a right-handed hitter. Absolutely right. It is hard to figure out what their batting averages was, and this is definitely before his prime.
It's on Juan Gon, is it?
Oh, it's Juan Gonzalez. Oh. That's a nice one, if it wasn't completely gum-stained. Besides the gum stain, that's a nice-looking card right there.
That's hilarious. I think that's a rookie card, too.
It
smells of cotton candy now.
Yeah, it's like a PSA 6 with the gum on there, unfortunately. All right, we got a cubby here. Outfielder and first base he is listed at. I think he might have gone on to be a manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Lloyd McClendon.
There we go. Lloyd McClendon.
Beauty.
Good one. Good one.
Lloyd McClendon.
Fine player. Good pinch hitter.
This is this is a more notable pack here.
I can play catcher too, you guys. I can play catcher.
Okay, this guy in the 1990s was a Boston Red Sox. In this card, he's a Boston Red Sox. And for me, the name is very similar to Harold Baines, and I would mess them up and get them confused for each other. Not as good of a player as Harold Baines, I don't think, but an outfielder as well.
Burks?
Yes, Ellis Burks is exactly right.
Very well done.
Is Ellis
a Harold Baines name?
It's a Harold Baines kind of name, for sure.
Okay, you're going to get the Washington Bullets and the Philadelphia 76ers confused in the late 80s sometimes. You're going to get Ellis Burks and Harold Baines
there you
confused,
go.
And in the 90s you're going to get the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. It happens.
They're all too similar. All right, this one we're not going to get. This is a Brewer. You got to get some Brewers when you're getting a pack of Bowmans here. It's not Randy Velarde. It's Randy Varis. Whoever Randy Varis or Varis is, we don't know him.
You couldn't have taken this picture yesterday when I was fine. I had to go out with Randy Cross and Teddy Higueri and the rest of the boys, and you got to take a picture tonight that morning after that. Jeez, guys. Okay, what are you, Bowman? They make Bowmans again? Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Still making Bowmans. We're getting close to a full set here of Milwaukee Brewers. Probably not. We've got like five of them, and there's like 50 players on a roster. But still, look at like none of these have been action shots for the Brewers either. No. They've all been spring training shots.
Yeah.
This guy, pitcher for the Oakland Athletics. Great pitching name. Great baseball name. A food. Part of his last name is a delicious natural sweetener that we get from
Rick
bees.
Honeycutt.
Rick Honeycutt. Look how handsome he's looking in this picture.
And
he said, I can't put my hat on. I'm having a great hair day.
This guy's a movie star. He was definitely fresh on the brain for me because I've got this Upper Deck card of him looking like a friggin' movie star signing autographs.
He's not giving out autographs. He's giving out numbers.
That's exactly right. Rick Honeycutt's styling, man. He went full accessories the next year.
Eckersley's deputy. He was his Barney Fife. He was his lefty setup guy. He followed him to St. Louis that first year together. He's like, Eckersley's like, if I'm going to pitch here, I'm going to need my Honeycutt.
There we go. We got the eighth and the ninth innings taken care of with the Oakland A's right now. Okay, this guy is a great 1990s player. Probably has the most infamous contract in MLB history.
Bobby Bonilla.
Pittsburgh Pirate Bobby Bonilla right
there.
I also
stacked a Bobby Bonilla. So let me pull that out of my upper deck pack as well. Because Bobby Bo still getting paid every July 1st. I forgot, he was a Pirate. But there's a Pirates art card from upper deck as well.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
And Vernon Wells made that, I guess. V. Wells is signed on the art card of Bobby Bo.
He drew it. Okay, here's a good one. This guy played for both Sox at some point in his career, has a very famous home run for the Boston Red Sox.
Carlton Fisk?
That's absolutely right.
Wow, yeah.
27 for the Red Sox, 72 for the White Sox.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I love that the homer he hits for the Red Sox. You know, he's doing like the cool like keep it fair thing. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome thing to try and emulate back in the day.
Absolutely. That's a wiffle ball classic. When you get around a little too early on a tennis ball and you send it to you know, you're hoping it's going to be in left field. Yeah. Yeah, you got to do
like
the
Fisk. Like a little double slash down. Come on, stay fair, stay fair. It did. Carlton Fisk.
The lateral.
Yeah. Washington emotional leader in the clubhouse there for the White Sox in the
Hawk early Harrelson 90s. Tried to get him to play left field with the Sox one year to make way for, I believe, Jerry Krause draftee Ron Karkovice.
Ooh, Karkovice. Yeah. I think he might be up on the wall of these. Ron Karkovice. That's another guy who liked the wire rim glasses as well.
He did.
This guy, it's going to be tough. He was a Detroit Tiger for the 1990 season. There's a few baseball players I feel like that are named Milt, and he is one of them. This guy is definitely named Milt.
Not Milt Palacio.
Nope.
No, don't got it.
Milt Kyler. You can tell this was a spring training photo because he doesn't even have a logo on his helmet at this point. Doesn't even get the D for the Detroit Tigers. All right, this is a good one. Texas Ranger at the time, also a White Sox player in the future. You often get his name mixed up with Ellis Burks.
That would be Washington Bullet Harold Baines. Damn,
that's right, got a Baines and a Burks in the same pack. I like that a lot.
That's a lot of 295 hitting 20 home runs. That's a good pack.
That's nice. Harold Baines did make the Hall of Fame eventually, right?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
No idea.
Look at that Jamie Farr T hat. That is very nice. I made a MASH reference. I don't care.
That's going to be really hitting with our audience for sure. Here's one. This is a guy's name I know. He was an Angel for this season. He's listed as a DH and an outfielder. Probably had some power.
Dave Parker?
No. If you were doing laundry and you wanted your clothes to be fresh and soft after the dryer, you might throw one of this guy's sheets into it.
Larry Sheets.
Brian Downing.
Brian Downing. I remember him as an Angel for sure.
Yeah. He's a real Tim Salmon out there. I like it. I like it. You can tell that this was the 90s too because he's wearing a baseball hat underneath the helmet. You don't.
Yes.
That was a look. It's like, oh, sorry. Chad's on second base. He's wearing the biggest helmet, so you're going to have to wear one. You're going to have to wear your hat with a helmet on the top of it to make it fit. Doug Glanville maybe was also a hat under the helmet guy. I don't know. Here's a Yankee. He's wearing wire rim glasses here. He's a shortstop in the 1990 season, so it ain't Derek Jeter. I'm just noticing now that I share a birthday with this guy, but he's a little bit older. He's Venezuelan.
Shortstop for the Yanks.
Shortstop for the Yankees.
Not coming to me.
Quinona? No.
No.
Robinson Cano, I don't know.
The 90s season, I'm going to be hopeless with the Yankees. That was, I think they were without Steinbrenner that year. I think he was suspended that season. Or maybe that was 91.
Well, maybe he had nothing to do with the acquisition of Alvaro Espinoza.
Oh, what a name.
Alvaro Espinoza. Don't know anything about him. All right. This is a great card. An athletic at the time, no goatee in this photo. His name has been mentioned on the podcast earlier, but when we were talking about a different team.
Oh, a non-Hall of Famer, Mark McGwire?
That's right. Mark McGwire. Oakland A's, Mark McGwire.
Let's see the looking neck. Young look at that right neck. There. Thin neck.
Yeah. Much thinner neck in this photo. Much narrower head. And finally, we got ourselves an art card. There's no trivia on the back, but it looks like a pretty cool card. This was probably the most notable 1990s New York Yankee.
Chuck Knoblauch? No.
Nope.
Paul O'Neill wasn't there yet.
Fair.
Oh, Mattingly, Donnie
there
Baseball.
There we go. Donnie Baseball.
There's an
Donnie Baseball.
Card. Ooh.
I watched a travel team game with my brother was playing in down in southern Indiana, and Donnie Baseball's son was playing in it, and he was behind the center field, or excuse me, left field wall with a cooler and a lawn chair, and having himself just a wonderful afternoon of watching his kid play baseball. Everyone left him alone. I didn't go anywhere near him. I could just see him sipping beer all afternoon. It was cool. It was like, that's Donnie Baseball.
That's respectful.
Yeah, we're going to go see Donnie Baseball in the dugout this Friday. We're going to take in a Braves game.
That's right.
The Marlins are coming to town. He's their manager. Can't wait. That's why he couldn't attend Paul O'Neill's ceremony last week. He wanted to be there. He said the acquisition of Paul O'Neill was the biggest trade the Yankees have ever made outside of Babe Ruth, because Paul O'Neill brought him those ships. So Donnie Baseball with an old landscape card there. Yeah, do you agree? You think that's the second biggest trade?
I mean, I'm not up on my Yankees trade, but you know, the guy who's best known for kicking the baseball out of right field is Paul O'Neill was fine. He was an all-star when I lived in Cincinnati. He's a perfectly acceptable player, but I'm hoping the Yankees have some better trades. And didn't they get who was that pitcher / outfielder that they got for? They traded like a couple hundred thousand. Babe Ruth. They traded for that guy.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was the biggest. Babe Ruth. Biggest trade outside Babe Ruth. Hey, Paul O'Neill, yeah.
Okay, well, Ken Phelps was pretty, you know, let's not dismiss that either.
But you can't dismiss the intangibles that Paul O'Neill brought to the clubhouse.
That's true.
That's what Donnie was talking about, I think. Anyways, great to see a landscape.
That's nice. That's art, a nice card.
Art card.
A couple of nice 1Bs right there.
And that's why I included this other art card here. We don't have to go through his name, but this is Mickey Tettleton, just because he's a great baseball name.
Oh, yeah.
From the 90s. So just a few upper decks here.
That ball's going to center field.
He's always. That boy, you think. Why is he throwing it sidearm?
Sidearm from behind the plate. Interesting.
That makes no sense. You're right. It is going to center field. What are you doing, Mickey?
He's throwing an X slider right there.
All right. A few upper decks to leave you with here, Kelly, before you got to go. A Atlanta Brave, because I know this is close to Trey's heart, but not the pitchers that we've all mentioned here as we've talked about Pujols hitting dingers. But a pitcher who played a long time. This is early in his career. These are 1990 upper decks, I should say. Early in his career. Out of the pen, I believe.
The pen.
Yeah. He's I think he pitched his entire career out of the pen. I'm pretty sure he threw left-handed.
Charlie Liebrandt?
Very nice, very nice. No, Charlie Liebrandt has always been 65. In this instance, this pitcher is very young. He's taken number 13 in the 87 draft out of Alvin, Texas.
Oh, it is Steve Avery?
No.
Oh, my bad.
No.
You got a Kent Merker over there?
No. But this was the beginning of his career, and he pitched in the World Series against the Jays in 92, but then he played forever. I know him as a Yankee. He could still be playing today, but he's retired. But he was in
Mike Stanton. Mike Stanton. Good Yankees hit.
Aggressively anti sideburns.
You could not have sideburns in the 90s until you had to have sideburns in the 90s.
Exactly.
You mentioned this guy earlier, Kelly. He was part of that Reds great team that went to the World Series. That got their asses swept, right?
Other way around, brother.
Oh, they swept. That's mm-hmm. right.
Swept the A's.
They swept the A's.
Did I say Herm Winningham? Did I say Glenn Braggs? Eric mm-hmm. Davis?
Got a Jose Rijo.
You're almost there. No,
Joe Oliver, Jose Rijo, Tom Browning.
I don't remember this man's quads being this big, but they are
Ted
big.
Todd Benzinger, Duncan.
Keep going. He's on the infield.
Chris Sabo.
Oh, Sabo.
Billy Hatcher.
Nice.
Billy Hatcher, very nice. Chris Sabo.
A little ahead of that one, but you know.
You're right. The upper decks got some action shots. They got some better.
That looks like the World Series. That could have been. Oh no, this is a 97. My bad.
How would you be able to tell if it was the World Series? Whoa, cards down.
It was Bobby.
Thought I saw some A's-ish stuff in the background.
Oh yeah, there's a little green. There's a little green back there. That could be. That's Cincinnati.
Oh no, that's Dodgers.
Yeah,
that's Dodgers.
Blue team.
Oh, it's blue. You guys are good. This Dodgers still the same stadium, right? That played in back then.
But they don't call it Chavez Ravine anymore, I don't think.
No, but they have a classic. It's a classic Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Respect. That Reds logo with the little happy baseball.
Little guy.
Love it.
So funny. Actually, you mentioned this next one. Mentioned this guy's name when you were guessing randomly. Is number 39, probably the best 39 in sports history besides Dominic Hasek.
Lance Johnson, Bobby Thigpen, Who did I randomly mention? That's not a Kelly Dwyer thing.
He's a big hitter. Powerful. Played with the A's at this point, but he got around.
Ruben Sierra?
Nope.
Dave Parker.
Davey P.
Dave Parker, one of my favorite players of all time. Top five player for me.
Why is he a top five player?
He's just the dude. Yeah. I mean, he's famous for walking around in a t-shirt with a Parliament Funkadelic lyric on it. He's just the guy. I mean, he wore a hockey mask and a football helmet when he broke his jaw. He's just a bodacious hitter, and he played forever. He played for two teams after this. He played for the Brewers and the Angels. And I just dig his game.
Would rip a cigarette as well, right? Is there a photo of him ripping a cigarette? I think so.
Oh, I'm sure. There's Richie Allen too, but yeah, I mean that whole Pirates team, was ripping cigs all over the place. That was a crew, and Parker was the best of them. I mean, he dominated the late 70s. Absolutely dominated it, and I wish they put him. I'm hoping these kids will push him into the Hall of Fame.
Dave.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame's changing now. It's about the numbers. Guys who wouldn't get in before would get in now, apparently.
I agree.
Because
he had to play with Pete Rose in Cincinnati, and no one was – weird lineups when Pete was trying to win games the wrong way, if you know what I mean. And, you know, playing in a giant, massive stadium with – so his stats kind of suffered. But he was, you know, per the era, he was dynamite. He was the guy.
What a photo.
Yeah, the photo with the Pirates, the old school hat. It's a billowing hat, it's like – 4 feet tall, and he's ripping something.
It's just me and the boy.
and it's funny. I guess it's a cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. He's smoking something if you're watching on YouTube.
Could be a hand-rolled cigarette.
And the player behind him as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's baseball so for you.
Great. Great stuff.
162 games. Got to do what you got to do.
This guy, I totally forgot he was a Chicago Cub. Famously known
Vance
for...
Law? Oh, of course he was a Chicago Cub. Maybe the All-Star team.
Vance Law? One call, that's all. Vance Law. That sounds like a...
that's a bench ad right there.
That's a bench ad.
No, this guy, infamously known for a moment where he gave up a huge dinger in the biggest of moments for another team a couple years later.
The Wild lefty, Mitch Williams.
Mitch wild Williams. Thing himself.
Totally forgot he was a Cub.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Traded for Rafael Palmeiro.
Wow. Sideburns.
Yeah, look at that. Trendsetter. Icons, you're out of here. I am iconoclast Mitch Williams. I will wear sideburns the 90th year.
Was he a Ranger?
He's a Ranger.
Oh, okay.
And the Cubs had to get rid of Rafael Palmeiro and Dave Martinez because of some locker room dissension. Mm. And stumbled into a wild lefty reliever, and that happened on the scene at the same time this awesome movie came out about a wild reliever. So it was a fun year. 89 Cubs are one of my favorite teams ever.
And then obviously gave up the home run to Joe Jolton Joe in '93, a Blue Jay, and we've got a Blue Jay here, another lefty taken to the hill. Another
Jimmy Key?
No, good guess. Another bit of a wild child. Had some issues with gout in his career.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Late.
Hey, late. He's eating too much mutton.
Yep. Late in his career, where he was a Yankee.
Late gout.
He did some special things. He was a Blue Jay. I know him as Blue Jay because I was a Blue Jays fan, but he's definitely more known as a Yankee.
The David Wells fan?
David Wells.
Well's done, sir. To go get that.
Oh,
mustache.
Look at that guy. That hat is just pure. That hat is so clean.
That's looking nice.
Three more cards.
What do you think about the Blue Jays wearing red every Monday? I saw some Blue Jays fans tweeting about it this week. It looks weird to see a team called the Blue Jays wearing so much red.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with it because I see it on Canada Day.
Sure, of
and
course.
Now I'm fine with it. Every Monday, it is a little much.
Extra but, red.
As Kelly just said, 162 games.
Mix it up.
Exactly. There you go.
Why the heck not? I was just explaining to my father-in-law that they play the same team three or four times in a row, and he just couldn't understand it.
fair enough. They just go and stay for a weekend and play baseball every day.
And he's like, every day? You know, no breaks in between?
The same fellas.
Yeah, they must.
Isn't that uncomfortable?
Yeah, they must get tired. This guy must have got tired because he played two sports. I threw him in here, as we all know, the greatest guy to play two sports. No, it's not the greatest guy. I take it back.
Bo.
Yeah, it's Bo. Bo, because I recently, so the other guys, obviously Dion.
Yeah. You know, I would say Dion, certainly more accomplished than Bo Jackson, but maybe Bo Jackson had more talent in both of his sports. Just the injury with the Raiders kind of ruined things for baseball and football for Bo. Whereas Dion was able to kind of avoid contact for most of his career in the NFL, being the greatest defensive back of all time.
Mm. Yeah, Dion going back and playing with the Reds just randomly. Almost anonymously, I'm going to play for this. You know, he could have been like, hey, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to come around in September and October and play for a game, or play for whatever team is the highest bidding is going to be in the October, is going to be on TV. I'm going to play for that team. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go play for the Reds all year and just do, you know, normal baseball things and not be on TV. I love Dion, but yeah, Bo's the man.
Do you know another guy who played baseball and football? Cause I just realized that he was a Brave.
Brian Jordan.
Brian Jordan. Yeah. Former Cardinal.
Yeah, he was the one, to me, it was like, oh, we're letting guys play two sports now, so I'm going to try it as well. Way better at baseball than football, I think Brian Jordan was.
What position did he play in football? I don't even remember.
He was a DB as well, I think he was maybe a safety.
All right, two more cards. This guy is sweet. His first name. It's a nickname, I suppose.
Sweet Lou Whitaker?
No, very nice. Very nice. No, his actual first name that everyone knows him by. Is sweet
sugar.
It's tantalizing. Mm-hmm. Yep, it's sugary, baby.
It's sugary.
It's a sugary name.
Skittle Johansson.
Rick Honeycutt.
No, his last name probably as many syllables. No,
sweet.
A lot of syllables sweet. In his last name.
Which team are we talking here?
He was a Giant. He was also a Blue Jay. He's kind of like a utility guy.
Can't be Kevin Seltzer because that's not sweet. Mm-hmm. It's just bubbly.
It's just bubbly. Kevin Seltzer, is that a guy?
He's a Braves hitting coach right now.
Oh, yeah. He's Puerto Rican.
Man, I got Ivan Pudge Rodriguez.
No.
And maybe the Blue Jay Giant Fudge Rodriguez.
He didn't get a lot of Blue Jay Giant transactions.
No. He probably signed as a free agent because he wasn't incredible, but he was... He was useful, and I played in the World Series for the Blue Jays.
Candy Maldonado.
Yeah.
Nice one. Yeah. Nice one. Yeah. That is sweet.
I don't know. I'm trying to see what his actual name is, but no one knows. It's not on the back of the card. Maldonado's throw is over everything. That's what he's well known for, is throwing the ball over.
Great hitter, though. A strong hitter.
In my house, he was known for my mom telling me she was going to get me a Candy Maldonado autograph because she knew somebody that knew him. Never got it. Never got it. Still haunted to this day.
That'd be a great nickname to have. Or a great Maldonado. Autograph.
Oh, yeah.
Last guy here. He's still hanging around the game, celebrating the game. One of the all-time greats. I mean, I'm skipping the lead here. An absolute beauty of a smile. An absolute pure swing. A lefty.
The kid.
Ken. And I threw him out there because he also tweeted a photo of his, a split screen of his from his rookie year, which was 1989. And he replicated it.
Nice.
He replicated it recently if you're watching on YouTube. So 89, he had that. And he looks exactly the same, like 30 plus years later. You know, a little age, but not all that different.
Still have the necklaces, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a good call. Yeah, Trace.
I wonder if he's been back to Bellingham, Washington, where that photo was taken.
Bellingham, Washington. Is that where he went to?
That's where his minor league team was then, when he was killing it when he was like 18 and a half. It's like, oh, this guy's going to be in the pros real soon.
But they didn't. So they brought him up to the majors real quick then.
Real quick, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on the accelerated program there. And then the Reds, just for some reason, were like, yeah, well, we're going to release his father. And then Seattle's like, okay, so his father is available. Let's be awesome here and make the greatest story ever and sign two. Yeah, you know, that was a fun thing to be around for. Just, yeah, sign his dad. Reds, release him. You don't need him on the World Series team. He's hitting 190. Goes out to Seattle, and he's like actually a really good player for one great year, and then sees his son off for the rest of his career. That was a fun time because Seattle was like nothing back then. They had Harold Reynolds, was like their all-time leading everything, the 270 hitting shortstop. So yeah, the kid, he was the greatest.
You wear a backwards hat back in the day, Kelly? I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat.
No. It was more of the it was by the time I was hat wearing time, the backwards hat had always been done. So it was a keep it forward sort of a anti crisscross sort of thing. It was always a statement. Plus you had to let people know what you were had. You know, I had to be the first guy with that Sox hat when they changed. I'd be the first guy with the Rockies hat when they got it. I'd be the first guy with the San Jose Sharks hat. It's, you know, you want, it's what kids have before we get cool band t-shirts. So, I'm not making them. If I buy a fog hat, I want people to see the thing on the front. I don't want, you know, there's nothing on the back. So yeah.
Benny hat.
I'm frontward.
I like that. Traditional.
I'm frontward. All right, Kelly, thank you so much for coming on. Hit back-to-back jacks this summer for the No Dunks, No Bunts brand. You're on with No Dunks as well, so really appreciate it.
I love it.
Make sure you're reading the second arrangement by Kelly Dwyer to see what he's doing at the Reds game tonight, Wednesday night. In your honor, I'm going to chew these two pieces of gum.
Oh, no. Task. You're good. No, task.
They look yellow. No, they look fresh. In person, they look fresh. They look yellow on camera.
Yeah, that is strange. I saw them. I was like, those are supposed to be pink, aren't they?
They smell like I'm doing it. I got to do it now in your honor. Just as good. Just as good. 30.
Chewy.
So good to have you on, Kelly.
I'm on the record saying no, right? We got that on the mic.
We got a
stick of gum that looks like every color crazy of the shoe that's on his throwback TBJ shirt. Mm. No Dunks.
Oh. Yummy. Why would you say no to this, Kelly? We have to
people
make
buy No Dunks merch so that we can pay for the costly ambulance ride that is about to.
I'm driving. I'm getting in the car.
Usher Taz from the Classic Factory to the hospital to Tampa Bay.
I'm driving. I'm getting in the car. I'm trying not to swallow.
Please don't.
I already did a little bit. But yeah, I'm getting in the car. I'm driving to Canada, or they'll take care of me.
You might as well.
It's like a don't take the knife out situation. You're going to want to have to swallow that and let your body do the most of the work on that. Pass. Do not Randy Velarde.
I lost my mic there for a sec.
It sounded like you were eating crackers or something. That did not sound like gum.
I've just been eyeing this pack. I'm once I get something in my mind, I can't let it go. So I've been eyeing this gum for 48 hours, thinking, when am I going to chew that?
I can see the color on your face changing, Tass.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this, you might be seriously ill. And, look in the back of the Bowman thing and see where they were made so we can see who to hit with some sort of form of suit.
It says, dextrose, corn syrup, gum base. Softens natural and artificial flavors, artificial colors, and BHT to maintain freshness. Not enough BHT, my friends. Kelly, thanks for coming on. Enjoy the game.
Wow.
Tonight.
Okay. I will enjoy the rest of your afternoon and whatever happens to your digestive system after this.
Oh, I'm gonna be wonderful. Again, are you gonna live tweet the game? I know you're not like a live.
I've got a 6-year-old iPhone. There's no way. Once I leave the car, the battery immediately catches on fire and dies. But I'll definitely write something in the second arrangement, and we'll have some fun. We'll throw in some old videos, maybe the Chris Sabo, maybe some Glenn Braggs. We'll have some Cincinnati fun. And gosh, this is 2 no dunks in 1 month. I'm a blessed man. So thank you again for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, Kelly. Appreciate it. Kelly Dwyer at the second arrangement. Make sure you subscribe. Best email I get. Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks. We've got a segment here called What the Hell Is This Baseball Stat? Whoa, what the hell is this stat? Well, I think this stat is pretty self-explanatory. The stat is called chase rate. Pitches outside the zone that a hitter swings at.
Ooh, you want to have a low chase rate would be my guess.
You're right, sir.
Yeah.
That would tell wannabe scouts, or would-be scouts, not wannabe scouts. would-be scouts that you've got plate discipline. That you don't swing at balls outside the zone. Now, it doesn't indicate whether or not you hit the ball, whether or not you hit for base hits outside the zone, but it is an indicator of, yeah, again, like a Juan Soto, that's what he does. He's got a low chase rate, as he said, walks a lot, just has a keen eye. And I don't know if that seeps into the umpire's mind when, like, I know that when Juan Soto takes a pitch, and umpire's like, well, it's probably a ball.
Probably a ball.
Because he's got that great eye. That's what the Los Angeles Dodgers have built their lineup on. That's why they're so hard to beat, because they just take so many pitches. They've got great eyes. But that's why our Braves here in Atlanta are so fun, because they swing at everything.
They got a high chase rate.
They got some high. Some guys have some high chase rates, like the young guys coming up, but they still make contact. They're still good.
Okay, so chase rate has absolutely nothing to do with making contact. It's just all about, are you swinging at pitches out of the zone?
Yes, exactly.
And if you're one of the greats, you can still do something with a pitch out of the zone. Perhaps. Yeah. But you'd rather be on the other side.
Right, exactly. It's also, it's formally known as O-swing, outside swing percentage.
Okay.
And Z-swing is the opposite, pitches inside the zone that a hitter swings at, so...
You don't want to be taking pitches that are, like, right down the middle.
No. And, you want a high Z-swing percentage, but a low O-swing percentage. I think it's an interesting, somewhat interesting stat to look at. Guys that chase. Like, I immediately think of as a fan of the 90s, fan of the Expos, fan of the Angels, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. That guy could do anything with any pitch outside the zone. He'd swing at pitches that would bounce. And he would yank him. He would go everywhere with it. So he probably had a high chase rate. But again, that doesn't tell you the whole story. He probably has a hard barrel rate. I think that's a thing.
Barrels. Yeah, sure. Yeah, those are a thing.
You hit the ball on the barrel. Like you're barreling the ball.
Pure contact. Yeah. That's why you wrap it in preseason. So you know where you're aiming.
There's also a thing called swing percentage. Rate of swings. Per pitch. Basically, it's just like pitch divided by swings, like how often you're swinging. I got nothing to say about that, but I'm just bringing it up because there's so many baseball stats. It is really hard to whittle down.
It's a good one, though.
It's an interesting one, yeah.
Working the count's a big deal, especially in today's game where you're trying to – I mean, pitchers aren't pitching quite as often. I remember when I was younger
– Yeah, tell me about it.
I was watching, you know, like growing up around Chicago, Frank Thomas was a huge – baseball player back in the day, the Big Hurt, and one of the things with him was not only is he cranking dingers all the time, he's drawing a whole bunch of walks. Unfortunately for me, I didn't have the natural power of a Frank Thomas, but I tried to co-opt his great eye at the plate, because getting a walk's just as good as getting a single.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I took it too far. You know, like, I was being too selective. My chase rate was too low, so then my Z-swing was also too low, because now I'm taking pitches in the zone, and then you feel like a fool. You're like, oh, I just missed the pitch that I should have been trying to hit out there.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can go over the edge too far. I wonder if MLB players are ever, like, I've been taking too many pitches. I got to swing at some worse ones here just to try and make something happen.
That's a very good point. I imagine the greats are the greats, and they will, like you on the in the batter's box. You maybe, there's a trying to swat. I've got a pretty low average here as I swat at a fly multiple times here in the studio. I'm 0 for. I'm 0 for 3, I think.
Yeah, we got a high chase rate trying to get this one fly right here right now, though. I'm eyeing it there at the end of the table.
I'm going
to
make up for it with a slugging percentage, though. I'm going to knock that thing out of the classic factory pretty soon. But there's the good guys are the good guys for a reason. Like if you watch any old Barry Bonds clips, missed them. The old Barry Bonds clips are just pitchers pitching around the zone, not able to come anywhere near the zone because Bonds would sock everything, and he had that great eye. So he was walking. Minuscule chase rate. I'm going to get this fly here, JD. So
here we go.
Catch me here. Oh, nothing. Nothing. Anyway.
That was a good cut. Here's the question for me. Is chase rate...
Oh, I got him.
Oh!
The middle knuckle.
Look at this. Right on the middle finger there. Oh, he's down.
See ya, fly.
It looks like you're calling for a pitch here, or maybe a pitch out, actually.
There it is.
Right there.
Hard to focus on that fly, but
wow,
JD, you got
get it in between the fingers?
No idea.
That's what? Only the second grossest thing you did on this show.
Yeah. It's the summer.
It's the summer. We're swatting. We're swatting out here.
Got to try some things. Got to eat some gum.
I've got it.
It's hard to maintain my finger position like this.
You popped open that pack. That fly smelled that delicious gum and had to get close to it.
And you can go drown in the juices, the saliva that I had to spit out. See a fly. There's your burial. Anyway.
What a wild ending.
It isn't. No, this is just the beginning. Now I'm going to talk about more stats. No, that's it. That's it.
Here's a question for you, though. Yeah. Is chase rate specifically an offensive stat? You know what I'm saying? Is it only for batters chasing bad pitches, or do they also track it for pitchers and you want to have a high chase rate, like people swinging at your pitches that are out of the zone getting strikeouts?
Oh, they've got to.
It probably goes both ways. Why not?
Yes. Yeah, there's definitely pitches in the zone for pitchers, versus outside the zone. Yeah. So there's that simple stat. But as far as, pitchers inducing guys to chase, it's got to be a stat. I don't know what it's called. It's got to be a letter for it. I mentioned an O swing, a Z swing, a swing percentage. Yeah, what's P, C, chasing?
Sure, you would want to have a high chase rate on a slider out of the zone, you know?
Are there stats like that in no breaks? Here's the transition. Like in Formula One, not in no breaks, but in Formula One, or like passing rates?
They do have most overtakes. That's a big thing. And I would say the other thing that they track quite regularly that's maybe a little odd is fastest pit stop. You know, like it's, you want to get your car into the pits and out as fast as you possibly can. Yeah. That's a big like team thing that's not necessarily associated with the driver. So that's probably the closest, I guess.
That's why it's a good sport. Not a lot of stats. Two stats.
Yeah. One stat, miles per hour or kilometers per hour, and the other one is how fast can you change the tires. That's it.
Done.
I'm sure there's others, like downforce. I don't know, but you got to ask Graydon. All I know how to do is ask him questions.
So you guys are talking about any of those stats today on No Breaks, on your episode of No Breaks as we record on Wednesday? No Breaks
okay,
has its
well,
own
actually,
feed.
This is maybe something similar. We've got the top 10, Graydon's going to list his top 10 corners in Formula One. You know, the tracks are not oval, so they got all kinds of crazy turns. The turns get names.
Yeah.
So it'd be the Green Monster is a notable baseball feature of a stadium, or when Houston used to have like the little hill in center field, that kind of thing. Maybe that's kind of similar, the intricacies of each and every track.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's Pesky's pole, yeah, that kind of thing, for sure. Yeah, that's interesting. So we're gonna get the top 10 corners.
Yep.
On No Breaks today. All right. Yep. Make sure you subscribe to the No Bunks. Wow, I did it. I did the same thing as Skeets. Bunts and Dunks later this week, because we've got Is This Good coming up, another episode with Matty O. And of course, if something happens in basketball, if Donovan Mitchell is traded to the New York Knicks.
What do you think about that RJ Barrett extension?
I do agree with our man John Hollinger. You can't overpay for somebody on their rookie extension these days. So
true.
I'm happy for RJ Barrett, and he's a good enough player to garner that money. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I think so too. He's definitely worth what they're going to be paying, and maybe he will outplay his contract as time goes on. Still some improvements to be made.
Sure.
But better paying him than letting him go somewhere else, I think. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it throws a little wrench in the plans for acquiring Donovan Mitchell, but they could still make it happen if they really wanted to.
Yeah,
what it seems like.
Yeah, they could still make it happen. If you look at the Knicks and who they're paying their top three, it's unfortunately, it's not a great team, and you're paying guys like, you know, number one, number two money in Julius Randle, Donovan Mitchell, and now Jalen Brunson. So, you know, when you talk about it like that, it's not ideal because you're paying 30, 25, and whatever they're paying Randle, another 25-ish. That's a lot of bucks.
Yeah, but people have been asking for the Knicks to just, like, do normal stuff for a while, and that's kind of what I feel like Leon Rose has been doing, is just making the team a normal, standard basketball team, sort of like where the Nets were when Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving signed with them, and it was just kind of like, they seem to be a little bit of a stable franchise. Maybe that's what New York is trying to do, build something stable here, and then we'll someday be able to acquire a superstar.
That's true. The Jalen Brunson move in a vacuum is good. It's stable. RJ Barrett can be traded, as you said. It's fine. It's a rookie extension that everyone is signing, and it was their first rookie extension. I read this on The Athletic, of their first round pick since Charlie Ward. What, in 1998 or 99, whatever.
There's a sports star for you.
Two sports star. Charlie Ward. Did he win the Heisman?
He did win the Heisman.
Yeah, as a quarterback. And then he was a PG for the Knicks.
A little basketball talk here, huh?
Yeah, why not?
Wild stuff.
If you want more basketball talk, if you want all sports talk, you can subscribe to The Athletic for a great price right now. $1 a month for the next 6 months. What? At theathletic.com/nodogs. That is a heck of a deal. Go over and do that. In the meantime, Trey's got to get ready for No Breaks with Graydon in a couple hours here at the Classic Factory as we pump out the hits. For now, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, two fingers into the pinky of your glove will give you a deeper pocket, which is good for an outfielder.
Big pocket.
Big pocket.
But you said infielders are doing it.
Everybody's doing it. The bigger the pocket, the better the range.
We gotta end on that. The bigger the pocket, the better the range. And the more change.